Welcome to the Seventh Sense podcast.
This is a space to explore, reflect, and share.
Open conversations for the heart, mind, and soul. My name is Eugene Geshaga.
My name is Adnan Jerry. How was your week?
First of all, it's 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. We couldn't shoot last week.
So, two weeks have been... It's the best like juxtaposition of, I feel like, months. Not the cliche, oh, it's a new month. I've actually felt it.
Mm.
And it's...
It's a new moon in pieces.
And I think that's what... I see anyone, I don't know anything about those things.
Yeah.
It's a new moon. I don't know, but I feel it.
But you can see it. You can
and
see
I
the
see
new
it,
moon.
Yeah. But I feel like that's always been me. I've never been able to... Like, you know, I want to say wordify. Like an experience. I always feel it and experience it. And then you'll say something and you'll put it into words. And I'm just like, oh
that's what it was.
Okay, cool. So that's how it's been. Just 2 weeks ago, I was like in limbo. And then I think a couple of things, and when they fall, I was telling you the other day, I feel like I get anxiety when I see something manifesting. It's because now I understand, oh, this thing is for real.
Yeah.
That's where my anxiety comes from. Not that I'm scared, it's just that now I understand the power behind putting something out there, and then you're seeing it materializing, you're like, whoa.
It's mad, yeah.
Yes, I think that's where my anxiety comes from. So it's been nice. Honestly, I've been good. You?
Me, I've been good too. Last week was a mess for me because I had a medical checkup and then I had to get more tests done. It was just like the uncertainty of it. I really don't like uncertainty. I like to know what's next. And I also feel like I've also been in this place where a lot of what I'm thinking is like, okay, so what's next? Because I feel like I had a 5-year plan and now for this next five, which ended last year, and I ticked everything that I wanted to do off that list. But it's like, okay, so for now, this next 5 years, what's next?
What
like, I haven't been able to define it as easily. Because I feel like when you're in uni, it's like, I'm going to graduate with this GPA. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to do, like, it's so easy to define.
Yeah.
And after uni, it's like, the world is your oyster. Where do I even start?
Where do I go? And then how do I take it higher?
Yeah, so I've been in this space of what's next. And actually, having a sleepover, I had a sleepover with, like, my girlfriends the other night. And she did a tarot reading for me. So the question I asked her for my tarot, because it's literally been on my mind, was what's next? Because you ask a question and then she shuffles the cards and she shows you your answers, right?
Okay, now,
so
sorry, me, it's just that thing, I'm only saying to understand it. So it's basically, I'll come to you and, so for example, let's you be the tarot reader, and I come and tell you, I want to know where I'll be in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You shuffle the deck of cards and then you place them out and then we read them and understand what the cards mean.
Mm. So my question to her was for the reading was what's next, and the tarot cards basically told me to chill. It was like patience, a vision, and then I think the cup of pentacles, mother of pentacles, I don't remember what, and then the crow with the key. So it's like the order it tells a story, the order in which they show up tell a story in relation to your question. So she'll do that for like 8-10 cards. She'll like do 8.
Yeah.
If she feels like these 4 don't make sense, she'll do another 4 on top of those ones to elaborate those ones. Like that.
I feel like now when I get that,
I
feel like I just want to experience that.
So I still don't know what's next. I mean, I have an idea, but I think I'm just like accepting one day at a time.
Is patience like a strong suit that you have?
Patience, yes, but I need clarity. Like I didn't like clarity. Like I love spoilers. I want to know all the spoilers before I even watch the movie. That's why I'll enjoy the movie more.
So I saw something and it was saying how people with anxiety, we enjoy watching like a series or a movie over and over because we know what's going to happen next, and there's comfort in knowing what's going to happen next. So do you think like an anxious person, or just generally you just like
controlling the pieces
that you have?
Okay, I wouldn't say I suffer from anxiety.
Okay.
I don't think I'm anxious. I just really like control and clarity. Like I just need to know. Like if, like, you know, if the cards told me wait for 3 years, I'd be like, fine, I know it's 3 years.
Yeah.
It's something I'm working towards. I'm
you
taking
just wait.
Just chill. I'm just like.
But it's not the thing that maybe now the universe is trying to teach you. Then it's just or teach you.
It'll come when you least.
It'll come when it comes.
Yeah.
And just wait.
It's so annoying and dreamy.
Even me, I struggle with that. Like I like, and it's I don't want to say it's a power. I think I've lost. It's a muscle I've stopped flexing. Is I used to be able to like to jot out where I want to be.
Have like the
plan, and I can see it. And then nowadays I've become so resounded to, you know what, If it's mine, it's mine.
So with every episode, we like to start with a little game to help us get to know each other better and also for you guys to get to know a bit about us. So we have like a bowl of questions and we just pick a question and ask each other. So you start.
So is it I answer it? Yeah, it's somebody answer the one you've asked.
Yeah.
So what's your most useless talent? I don't have useless talents, but...
Like something that you can do really well that you just like, if I could make money from this or something, you know?
This one I'll have to show you because I feel like it's just something that I find so weird.
What are you I feel like... It escalated quicker than I was ready.
Because I'm like, I've been waiting for this moment my whole life for someone to ask me, what can you do?
Yeah, so he took off his socks.
And it's this thing, wait.
Oh my god!
It's a thing I've always been able to do, like with my big toe. Never understood how. So that's my useless talent.
That's so freaky. Yeah, that was.
You asked.
A moment.
You asked.
Which body part wouldn't you mind losing? I feel like I wouldn't mind losing an ear.
I was gonna say the same thing, like when I was thinking about it, I'm just like, I wouldn't mind like losing an ear. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's
one ear. I was gonna say a nose, but then I feel like you just look like Voldemort. You get like you would.
I'm still recovering from your talent. I feel like I'll be hearing neck noise now at night. I'm going to sleep.
That's the
Yeah. Anyway, I'll heal.
I'm sorry. She asked.
But I feel like you were so excited to share that.
Yeah, because I feel like I've always done, like, it's always been there. And I've been like to random ass people, but I'm just like, that's a useless talent I actually have. Like, who do you know else who can do that? No one. So, you asked. So, what do you value the most about our friendship? And I think it's, I feel like we've been able to evolve together in a sense. And there's that, we've had like our times where just things were not good. But just the fact that we're able to come back and able to talk about it. In as awkward, painful, uncomfortable as it is, we've been able still like to keep moving forward together. And there's that like-mindedness. We're able to move together. And I feel like you know things about me that not
I was gonna say that. Like, I feel like for me it's the openness. Like we're actually friends. Yeah. Friends. Like I can tell you the most fucked up shit that's happened to me and you'll never be like you know, you never like treat me different or be weird about it.
That's the thing. Mine is just the thing of the things I've actually been through. This is not me being a thousand, I don't even think I've said it to you. It's just, you've never changed how you look at me.
Yeah.
That's something I cherish. I feel like I've gone through a lot of things, but you always look at me the same way. And I'm just like, wow,
that's real. What would you pick for your last meal? Wow, this is like so much pressure. Can I like do top three?
Okay, pick your breakfast, lunch, dinner. Is that even more complex?
That's better.
Okay, cool.
I would have oats and mango juice for breakfast. Oats with bananas and mango juice. And then for lunch, I would have sushi. Like, give me all the sushi. Like, give me the California roll. Give me the spicy tuna roll. Give me the crab legs. Give me everything. That's my lunch. With some miso soup and, like, a seaweed salad. Like, yes. And then for dinner, I'd probably have, like, Korean barbecue.
And then for dessert?
For dessert.
But your last dessert in this world would be?
I would have maybe like pineapple upside down with some vanilla ice cream. Yeah. Like a warm pineapple upside down cake with some vanilla ice cream or zucchini cake, chocolate zucchini cake with vanilla ice cream. Or instead of me heavy breathing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry guys. What about you? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Breakfast, like my last breakfast.
Yeah.
A bowl of Cocoa Pops. Bowl of Cocoa Pops. And then pancakes. Pancakes. Like pancakes, my shoshu. This is breakfast too.
Okay.
So I'd start with Cocoa Pops, then pancakes that my shoshu makes. But then I'd just add more sugar to the butter. Like I like how she does her pancakes, but I'd add more sugar. And then, yeah, just that. And then a cup of tea. So then lunch, I'd have a burger.
For sure.
I'd have a burger for sure.
What's the best burger you've had in Nairobi?
I want to say, I don't know if I'm proud of the choice, but I want to say Mama Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the fella burger for me, from that's dope.
A good burger.
That's a good burger, yeah.
You still need to try Uncle Nene's. You would love it.
Because I was going to try like last week, but then the Sunday, they don't open on Sundays.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just like, damn. And then for dinner, I'd have chapo and a mincemeat stew. Chapo has to be the last meal I eat. Dessert would be a milkshake, a chocolate chip milkshake.
That's yeah, what, and a brownie. Dairy.
And that's why when you said you're going to go vegan, I'm just like, is it? Because clearly my body is just like, maybe the dairy is just not working for you now. But I'm like, I can't do without ice cream. That's the only thing that's holding me back. I'm just like, I can't do without ice cream. I can't do sorbet.
Also, I feel like I said vegetarian.
Sure. You changed, yeah. Because I'm like, vegan is some whole other thing.
Vegan, I feel like I would if we had more options. Because you see, like, American YouTubers who are vegan, they have, like, everything in vegan. They have Ben & Jerry's made
in
from
vegan,
sunflower,
yeah, it's actually
butter,
a vegan option,
you know,
on the entire menu. I get you. I feel like it's one of those things, like, even how I got into running was one of those things where it's a lot of work to do. But when I started it, just over time, I got
built
comfortable.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I feel like even just with my diet and everything, it's, I'll get to it.
Mm.
Yeah, I trust. That was nice.
Yeah.
I feel like they wanted to give a balance between something really deep and then
have
my other one was Snickers, Mars, or Bounty.
Mars.
No way.
I don't like the flavor of coconut if it's raw.
I mean, yeah, but I don't like Bounty for sure. Snickers.
And I don't like peanuts in anything.
I was really mad just to say.
I just like Mars or Kit Kat. Those are my two favorite chocolates.
Mm. Yeah,
caramel.
I'm Snickers. Mm. Okay, cool. Today we want to talk about, it was actually your idea to talk about reparenting the inner child.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was something I wanted you like to not lead, but because I just didn't want to tap into this one. Not
okay,
I didn't want to, but
yeah.
I knew this one was going to be so
deep
and it's going to unearth a lot of things that I know I need to work through.
Mm.
And like I was telling you earlier, it's like, you know, you need to go to the gym, but you just don't want to.
Mm.
So that's how I really felt about this one. But I know it's so important in my growth as a person. And just for anybody else listening,
I feel like a big part of it for me was also just realizing how your 20s, there's a lot of unpacking and healing that happens so consistently. So I feel like this was important for us to even just touch on a bit, because we definitely won't be able to cover everything in this episode. And I want to read what I wrote, actually.
Okay.
Reparenting is learning to meet your needs as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to meet your needs as an adult. So for me, it was like I want to unlearn toxic patterns or hurtful patterns that I've just built up. And some of the areas I saw that in is like boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Setting and enforcing and
boundaries.
Maintaining
yeah.
and adjusting boundaries isn't something I've always been good at. I've been so codependent, and it's like, it's something you just learn as a kid.
Sorry, but is it like boundaries between, I feel you can also have boundaries like, you know, within yourself.
Mm.
And then boundaries with your family members. Boundaries with your friends. So you're talking about like boundaries in
the
all those levels.
External ones, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like that's one of the issues that I wanted to work on.
Uh-huh.
And also another situation that shows me the need for parenting is like reacting instead of responding. Which is something I do when I'm conflicted sometimes. Mm. Is that something you relate to, or like?
Like I told you, this topic, I was just like, mad. It's gonna make me like, just gonna go, not back, but it's gonna make me really tap into something.
Mm.
You know, when you put a lid on something, you're just like, I'm not ready.
Mm.
So for me, I felt like reparenting for me mostly came about from, for a big chunk of my life, I felt like I was left with a father who I didn't know, like I was left in the house with a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And so that void of no one is there to give me like self-esteem about myself or to tell me good things about myself, all that matters is just, I feel like if I wasn't a smart kid grades wise, he would not have bothered with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. I feel like it's just because I used to do good in school, he used to have something to talk to me about.
Oh yeah.
You get like, if I wasn't good at anything, I'd just be like one of those kids to him. Like, he didn't even get the attention. So I feel like that's a thing I've always struggled with. And that's why I feel like reparenting for me is key, because I feel like it's played such a major key in my self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it a lot in just the things I do, in what I create. I am my first critic, being like, that's not good enough.
Mm.
And I'm like, that's not fair to yourself, Shaga. Like, you can't be the first person telling yourself that's
tear
not
yourself
good
down.
Enough. Yeah, I feel like, nah. But it's always been that thing for... And you see, I had to stop blaming him because he didn't do this thing consciously. And it's something I read is parents only parent from their level of awareness.
And from... They were also just parented by another... generation of
who's
parents.
In their own level of awareness, you get, so it can be like a vicious cycle. And
or
I feel like parenting is the one where you're the first one to put your hand up to be like, you know what, okay, cool,
it ends with me.
Yeah. And that's where the work is the most on you, because it has, it's like a backlog of things that have been
it's like passed generational
on.
Trauma,
yeah. And
yeah,
you pause there. So nothing you sent me in the morning, I was just like, yo,
I saw it and I was like, I have to send you this.
Yeah, because I'm like, a big thing, a lot of the things that have happened even to me in my life have been, I've been labeled a certain thing, and I was never given a chance to give my side of the story or to explain why I am the way I am. And I've battled that. So I feel like for me, reparenting is really about, literally, you're raising
yourself
you're
teaching
again,
yourself, exactly.
And you're giving yourself the things that you were not given. No, and you're not going to be so salty about it. It's just like, you know what nurture or care you want to give yourself that you never really got.
Mm.
And you're not blaming anyone for not getting it.
Yeah.
You're being able to be like, you know what, this is
it's
what you
like
didn't
get.
It's like
inner work, yeah.
So that's what I think about it. I feel like it's you being able to nurture yourself, take care of yourself without blaming your parents for the things that they did.
Yeah. The way you said self-esteem, it reminded me of something for me also, is wanting to be liked.
Yeah,
wanting
I
to
get
like
that.
Be
yeah.
You know,
a part of,
yeah, and feeling like when someone has like a misconception of you, you feel like it defines you, and you're like, no, you want to correct the idea of you, you want them to see you for who you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, yeah,
I think it ties into also the boundaries thing, where now you like over compromise on your boundaries in order to be liked, in order to, like, you know, trying to save people.
Yeah,
it just leads into a lot of like dysfunctional relationships with people.
But can you like go back in your like childhood and try and like and pinpoint places where you're like, okay, maybe this, I didn't get this at this point, so maybe this is why I am seeking this liking right now?
I have to think about it.
Yeah,
is there anything you can tie to your self-esteem as I think about that?
But I feel like it's basically story of my life. Okay, not story of my life, but it's something I know is so pivotal, is moms are, especially for boys, this is someone who feeds your self-esteem, makes you understand like you're the biggest, you're the best, and
you're a legend.
You're the guy.
Yeah.
I feel like, so when my mom like moved on, I was 15. So I feel like that, you know, that's adolescence, and then that's when
there's
you really to figure
on.
Yourself out.
Yeah.
So not having that person to tell me, show to like to the come up to that, I mean, me and you was the shit. Soccer, I'm the baddest guy. She'd be like, oh shit, what boots do you want? That's what you want, cool. And I'd be mad. Guitar, play the guitar, mad. And so even my first trip like to the States was just because of her, after I finished like class 8. So a lot of things I think she did, and in hindsight maybe it was just the universe as well, making sure that
you had those memories.
I had those memories so that I can carry on with them. But it won't be easy, because she's not there to reinforce them, but at least I have those moments. So I think being left, because in my world, I was like, I was left alone to figure out who I am as a person, and then what do I want? And then, so that I think just dealt a major blow to my self-esteem. So I took to relationships to try and make me feel better about myself, because having someone to love me and tell me they love me, I'm like, oh shit, okay, cool.
I'm doing something right.
Yeah. And then someone else actually loves me. Oh, alright, okay, so maybe I'm actually lovable, you get.
I feel like for me, now that I think about it, it's definitely from the point where I never really would talk to my parents about my things. I would always just fix them.
Yeah.
So it's just always been something that I feel like I can fix, rather than just, it's not easy for me to just accept it for what it is and not take it like personally, because I always feel like I can fix it. Like, I don't need anyone else to like
I have
do
the same
it for
mentality.
Me. Yeah. It's like I can just fix this person and show them. why they need to like me.
But like what you said, you know, it's about you're not able to talk to your parents about certain things.
Mm.
I feel like so if I was able to talk to my dad or my brothers about certain things, maybe things would have turned out differently. Maybe, but you know, you're not
sure.
You
never know, yeah.
But I like how things have went about.
Mm.
But I want to ask, do you think having, like living with your mom, you get?
Mm-hmm.
So being with your mom,
mm-hmm.
has that like allowed you to get this, like, you know, not, I don't want to say it, iron skin, but this tough skin in terms of, I'm a woman, I can achieve things on my own, I can be successful, mm. and I can do it all. I don't need this codependency that, because like, I want to tie back to what you said, you know, I don't have to be codependent to a man for me to achieve certain things in my life. Do you think that has helped you also just try to understand, okay, fine, you know what, I can actually be a successful woman on my, like, empowered you?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that female independence is something that's been reinforced so consistently.
Because I see it in you, that's what I was asking, yeah.
Even in my friends' parents, like, you just, like, there's so many of our friends' parents, mothers in particular, who've just been like, I'm out and I'm doing this on my own. And they've like finessed it. It's never been like, you know,
it's a struggle.
Yeah, so definitely.
Okay.
But it's also the other flip side of it being like, but you can also try and make it work.
Yeah.
Maybe yours will be different. Mm. You know, so it's like the back and forth between those two scenarios.
No, because that thing you said about the codependency, and I feel like that's a lot of, up until this point, I'm looking back and I'm just like, I've never been in relationships where I have been able to detach myself from the person and let them be. I feel like if they don't give me attention, then oh my God, no, I'm not okay, this thing's not working out, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's back to that thing about, as a child, I feel like I got the attention I needed, but you're seeing where was the attention coming from?
Yeah.
Was from my mom. So my dad was never in the picture.
The main,
So when that is removed, I'm
it's
left
like,
okay, so who's watching over me now?
Mm.
So that's the one thing. I feel like when you said boundaries, I relate.
Related.
When you said about codependency, I relate. But how do you take care of that child? You get, I think that's what I wanted to ask. Like, how do you take care of that child who does not, and anybody listening, you know, or watching, is this, how do you take care of that child who doesn't even know they have a child inside of them?
For me, it's something, it's just how you feel.
Mm.
There's times when you'll do things and you'll feel good and you'll be like, wow, I need to do more of that. And there's times where you'll do things and you'll feel drained or interact with people or be in cycles of your life where it's like you're just feeling like, oh, why does this keep happening?
Mm.
Maybe there's like a deeper question there where you need to think about that and try and question that.
Because I feel like
then
sometimes
find
we
something.
Assume that everybody is questioning things the way we question things.
Mm.
And or is on a path that we are all on. But you see also there's people who are just maybe are stumbling upon this now.
Mm.
Just by us talking about it, they're just like, oh, wait, there's an inner child.
Yeah.
Or you need to reparent that inner child. So now I'm trying to tie it back like into my life, things I've been experiencing of late is, in my mind, I've always made my dad the villain. And granted, I'm going to try and say it a couple of, I feel like he's done his fair share of things.
Yeah.
But the reparenting concept made me start looking at him as, you know, like you said, he's just another human being.
Yeah.
Who made choices of his own. And
we don't even know what his inner child is like. Like him, he really has his
exactly.
own.
Exactly. So I feel like I can't start being like, oh, you know what, I'm like this because my dad did this to me. I have a choice and a responsibility to make sure that I protect my inner child.
You heal?
I heal it.
So that you're not raising kids in a few years with the same...
And I think now to really answer your question about, do I ever want to have kids? I think I'm scared of having kids because I'm scared of being the father he was to me.
Mm.
That's just me being completely honest, is I'm scared of that.
But the fact that you're already even aware of that makes a difference. Because I feel like these people who, I'm not even trying to judge, but have been raised in certain environments,
and
you just project it. It's like, you know, just keep it moving. But it's really hard though. Reparenting is not like a walk in the park. It's not like a breezy. Readjusting boundaries and like consistently enforcing boundaries,
so that's a question.
Even just noticing those patterns and being able to admit that you had a role to play in those patterns is like,
but how do you, like, how do you say, I feel like that's also something, boundaries. mm-hmm. is I struggle with the fact that you can reinvent yourself, but I feel like you can't reintroduce yourself to someone. So if this is how I introduce myself to you, then I came in with, there are no boundaries with me, I can give, you can take. It's hard to be like, at the detriment of the relationship you have with the person, to be like, hey, yo, this is only as far as I can go nowadays. Without the other person being like, oh, now you've changed, you're so different, why are you not the way you used to be? That's something I struggle with. Because I feel like I try and embrace, I feel like I evolve. Yeah. As with everyone, you evolve, and your evolution is never with the same time as everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I struggle trying to also be in, like, you know, class 6, but I'm in class 7. But I want to play with the guys who are still in class 6, because we met in class 6, but I moved. Mm. I struggle with that. And also the boundaries, I feel like I used to allow people to, I don't want to say pull me back, but you can reach a level of awareness or even self-awareness that you have about yourself, but someone is able to, like, make you question it because you gave them too much influence over how you look at yourself.
I think self-compassion is so major with reparenting. You really also...
What's self-compassion?
Just having compassion for yourself, forgiving yourself. As much as you're forgiving everyone else around you, forgiving yourself.
Okay.
Like, you're also just a human. You're also compassionate to yourself. Just, like, take the good also. You know, okay. It's so easy to be like, this is all the bad things wrong with me. But you could be like, this is all the bad things wrong with me. But despite all that, these are two things that I've done that I'm so proud of. And these bad things happened to me. And, like, you know, you apologize literally to yourself. You know, you're just holding that space for yourself. Yeah. It's so important, because once you start to, like, forgive yourself, then it's like no one can take that power from you or try to pull you back to that space. Mm. But then again, the thing with boundaries is you have to realize that it's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable, and there's going to be a lot of people you have to lose.
And it's that balance between, and then, like how you said, you know, just wanting people to like you.
Mm.
And the most important one, I think, for me is liking the version of yourself that you know is a true self.
Mm.
That balance between. Because I feel like, you know, that thing, you want to play a certain role to fit into a certain part.
Mm.
And it's the, you know, you, like, this is generally who I am. Like the two thing, you know, this is generally who I am. But
yeah.
It's not something I can go showing everyone.
Yeah, like on your YouTube channel, no, yeah.
But it can only suit certain people. And I just started believing way more, and it's because I'm surrounded by kids a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to see the impact I have over a child, and vice versa, you know. Mm-hmm. So for example, Getage, the second born, the thing I normally do to him when he's like, after dinner, after we've prayed, or when we're praying, I normally do this thing, I run my hands through his face, and I'm just like, we sleep. Of course, it started as an experiment for me, I was just like, this isn't gonna work. So we sleep. He ends up falling asleep. So a week later, I've been doing like for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So a week later, I don't even tell him to come. I'm just like, sleep. He comes, climbs to my arms, he sits, and then he just waits for it. Today in the morning, he came to my room and I'm asleep. So I'm pretending I'm asleep, but I didn't want to wake up. What does this guy do?
Sleep.
To my face, he's just like, sleep. And I was amazed at how kids, we're like, you're like a sponge, and like, you know, Play-Doh, how you can like imprint something on Play-Doh and it sticks.
Mm.
And that's what I feel like, whatever our parents do, it sticks in our subconscious.
Yeah, but you don't know. It, yeah.
It's just later, and you said how you react to things, that's when you're just like, oh, snap. But you don't even know where it's coming from.
Mm.
That's just how you're dealing with your things.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you're not really able to check and look at your life,
in order to move forward,
I don't think it's something you can even do on your own. I think you need also a therapist, because it's...
Yeah, you definitely need a community.
You need someone to, you need a support system going to help you, like, be able to carry all that junk and debunk a lot of the things you used to be told about yourself.
Yeah. That's why I feel like I've tried to be super intentional about just curating my ecosystem around me, even just with my female friends. We're just not, like, fun times friends. I mean, we've never really been just fun times friends, but it's like, intentionally trying to understand someone's
relationship you guys have.
Family.
Yeah.
But equally as you are jealous about it, you also have seen how much crap I've been through with female friendships to get to this point, you know.
And that's why I always say I look up to you, because you've been able to be really intentional with the things you want out of your life. You know, you say, okay, fine, I want to change this. you normally say it and you actually end up doing it. Half of us were normally just like, I want to change this. I want to go, I want to be vegan. I want to work out. We say it, but not everybody actually ends up doing it.
Mm.
You actually do it and you have no fucks about what other people think. And I think that's just quality I really admire in you. It's just like, as long as it's right for me, I've not fucked, I've not like intentionally pissed anybody off.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's just me, I keep it moving.
Yeah, but it's not always been that way. That's the thing. It's there's also been a lot of things that I've done just to fit in and just to be part of the people. So it's like just a process of you realizing, okay, I'm tired of this cycle. Where does the cycle even come from? What can I even do about it?
Yeah.
It's like you sort of paint your ideal version of, for me, what I did with my friends and community, painting my ideal version of what my ecosystem would look like. What type of friends do I want to have? What type of discussions do I want us to have?
Yeah.
How much time do I want to spend with them? What are the things I want to do when we spend time together? What do I want to create with them? And then the thing with that is when you have that vision, people start like falling out of your life. And it's like, what? But it's like, yeah, you put it out to the universe that you only want to set certain types of people.
Mm.
You're going to be redirected to the people who fit that. And there's gonna, you're going to start seeing the people who don't fit, the people who miss. And that gets annoying because you're like, oh, but I want this person, you know, it's like, I want this person. And then you just have to let that person go. And it's, that's the annoying part. That's the part where you're just like, oh, well, I guess they were here for a season to teach me whatever, you know.
That is so heavy. I feel like when you're editing this thing, just put like, you know, a bulb or like, you know, just,
your head.
Yeah. You really said, and it's things I struggle with, and I look back maybe when just high school and everything, it's a humble stunt, but I've always been able to be cool with everyone.
I've always aspired to that, and to some extent also been that way.
You get, and it's never out of me going out of my own way. It's just I've been able to be me. I remember in high school, like, you know, you have like three streams, and every, for me in high school, it used to be like every stream used to be like its own clique of people, and they move like that
differently.
Yeah,
same.
But I've always been able to move and fit in.
But
when I finished high school, it's like I shed that group of friends. Like, so I can't even go back and say I have this set of friends from high school. It's just like that phase was done, and so I've evolved. And so I'm this new person. So when you've said the universe always redirects you, that's what now I'm seeing in my life.
Mm.
It's just I've always been able to shed. Not that they are bad people. It's just that we're not, like, you know, it's just we are not moving in the same direction, or our paths are not going in the same direction.
And that's okay. And how I always even also look at it is, you look at your parents. Your parents don't have like a clique of 50 friends.
Facts.
So you see that Facts. You shouldn't be molding yourself too much to fit in with people, because you just see it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
And that's even for me, this like monthly meetup we have is so important, because I feel like no matter what, we can spare one day a month to just have a conversation, a genuine conversation. And that's not too much to ask for, because there's so many things that you do with so many different people that are not sustainable for the rest of your life. Because you see how, you just see how adulting works. Even already in your 20s, you're not able to maintain
10 friends.
Like, you know, it's
you
like
have
you
have a handful.
You
have like your circle that you know you can turn to.
And then you have like acquaintances.
Yeah. So, this thing. We tend to be protective and defensive around our childhood experience, but the truth is we have a unique opportunity to heal and consciously choose different behaviors as adults, regardless of what we have experienced in our past. This process is called reparenting.
Mm-hmm.
Reparenting is the act of giving yourself what you didn't receive as a child. What do you think like you never got as a child that has made you make certain decisions in your life now that you're like, oh, you know what? I can change that now.
What didn't I get as a child that made me?
You know, maybe not have boundaries for yourself, or be codependent, or things that you know you didn't get, but now you know you can give to yourself now. I feel like for me, one is self-love and self-appreciation.
I'm going to jump on that and say being a friend to myself.
That's the one. I think that's so the one thing if I can do, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, being a friend to myself is something that was never a priority, and I was never shown should be a priority. I was never guided, like, you know, there was the aspect of like, take care of yourself, take care of your things, have your goals, but like internally, you know, there's another level of being your own friend, treating yourself like your friend, keeping promises to yourself, you know, those small little things.
And so there's this thing I saw here, Obsessive compulsive achievement behavior.
That's me. That's my brand.
And I thought back at that statement and I'm like, so again, obsessive compulsive achievement behavior. And I'm like, damn, that was me. You know, I always made sure I've achieved certain things. It was never for my satisfaction.
Mm.
It was always for the
applause.
Yeah, like for my dad or for my friends. My family. I was never the focus of the things I was achieving. And that's something I'm trying now to rewire about everything that I do. Because if I make myself the center, I'm able to know, okay, fine, you know what? As long as you've gotten your, example, you finished your EP, that was never for anyone. So right now I'm really trying to do things when I know it's for me. Not about people clapping for you. It's you clapping for yourself.
I think something that I didn't receive as a child that has impacted me as an adult is the ability to form your own opinions or your own, like, make your own life decisions. Like, you know how your parents are like, this is the right path for you. It's never like, what would you like?
Yeah.
What would you? Because okay. I feel like now even realizing, like, I feel like if I knew that as a kid, video creation could be a full-time career, I would be leaps and miles ahead right now.
Nice.
You know, it's just now stepping into it, you're like, oh. And I feel like I was always low-key rebellious of that energy where my dad wanted me to like go to this uni and do this course because that was the good uni.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, but I fought that and I went to SIU and I graduated in 3 years, whereas people are still struggling with public universities trying to strike CG. So yeah, I was always a bit rebellious of that, but it's like, because you see how like American kids, you'll be like 4 years old and you'll say, I want to be cooking, and you'll be chefing it up, going on MasterChef, doing like, you know.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's something I feel like I never got. So even though I would always like achieve things, it wasn't like as satisfying.
Because it wasn't really your
achievement. Yeah.
It was like your parent living through you.
Yeah, and I feel like that's something so many people struggle with. You know, the way people are like, go do a degree, you can't give it to your dad, that sort of thing, yeah.
And that was me. That's my brand now. And I feel like I'm asking myself that more moving forward is, what do you want, Shaga? Like, it's hard to like allow yourself to do things just for yourself because you live in a society and the expectations society has.
There's a lot of dynamics.
Yeah, but I really try and focus back on myself to be like, when I wake up, I'm just like, I think that's why this week has been so good, is I've been able just to do things that end of the day, I'll enter my bed and I'll be like, you know what?
It was a good day
because you just did things that you wanted to do. Not things you expected or you thought someone expects you to do. You just wanted to do it. And you accomplished it. So I think that's a step, like, you know, just towards, because I'm back to the question of, you know, what do you feel like you didn't get that you're giving yourself now? For me, I think it's a self acknowledgement and just applause. I've always done things and it works, you know, it ended up being good. Like, you know, I do something hoping to get the applause and I get the applause. But once you get them, you still feel kind of empty because you weren't the first person to clap for yourself. And that's something I'm doing way more now, is I believe in wins that I get in my silence. I don't have to announce them. I feel like anything I've achieved so far, I feel like, yo, that's mad, bro. That's mad. So that's something I'm really trying to work out, is I don't need other people's recognition of me. I'm enough. Like, as long as I'm clapping for myself, that's it. It's not easy.
Yeah.
Especially being a creative, it's not easy because you also want people to clap and say, oh my God, that thing
that
is so dope.
Yeah.
But it slaps different when you really don't even care because you already know whatever you put out is fire. If they clap, cool. If they don't, it's whatever. So I think that's something I don't want to say struggle with, but I've been able to check myself on. That's the one thing I feel like I need to give my inner child, is just that support and that acceptance and that encouragement and compassion to be like, you know what, you can actually,
you're
enough.
Doing good.
Regardless of the things we've been through. Like behind closed doors, off cameras, you know, things that we've been through, for us to be here.
Yeah.
And still.
And still.
Because yesterday I thought about it, you know, and I was just like, rest in peace, Andre. But I was just like, it was a scary thing. And now is when I realized I was carrying a lot on my shoulders and I haven't dealt with a lot of things. And my inner child was crying. Crying, and I'm not doing anything to soothe the kid. So all I want to do is just like, you know, just to shut the kid up and just to be like, yo, just,
let's move on.
Let's move on. Let's just not, let's leave it. We can start all over again. So that was the thought process, was so much hurt, so much pain, and I don't know how to deal with it. I don't want to tell people about it. And even if I tell someone, they might not understand it. And then they might say some shit that makes me even feel even worse about myself. So that was the thing, you know, I was trying to work through. So what I'm saying, being able to sit here now is testament about how I feel like the inner child also keeps you moving. That's like the last person, the last fight in you is that inner child. In other words, it's a child. That's what keeps you moving through this life. And that's why I appreciate being able to still be like childlike in my own things. Is that because I know that's the last thing that kept me here.
Yeah.
Or was this kid saying this? Let's go, bro. Reparenting, I didn't want to do it. Like, I was just like, when you told me about it, I was just like,
it's a lot.
This is a lot.
And I feel like we've only like skimmed the surface. You know, like we could really talk about it.
I feel like we can.
But I feel like if, yeah, this is like, if you're listening to this,
yeah,
you'll have an idea of what to even start or where to even look, you know.
True.
And I think that was the goal of this, just, you know, at least have an idea of what does this even mean.
Yeah. And the rest is you to work on it yourself.
Yeah,
because we can't even sit here and say that we've done it all.
Bruh. Literally, I was telling you, like, this year I admitted to myself something that happened. Was it 4 years ago? 5 years ago?
Yeah.
5 years ago, like, you've just.
And you see,
you
the
know,
same
it's
thing.
Like
even
your
me,
mind
I was in
protects
shock.
You. It's like.
Yeah. It no, closes. That yeah. Happen. That didn't happen. We don't even think about it. We move.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's like a lot of work.
It's junk that we carry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like. Even I think for even us to be able to sit here and actually talk about certain things, also affirming to each other that, you know what, we've kind of gone through the same thing. It's just maybe word for word, it's not the same.
Yeah.
But I can relate
the
to
feeling,
what
you're,
yeah,
you
I can,
the,
I feel what
feeling,
you, yeah, I
yeah.
know what you're talking about. There's that comfort. Mm-hmm. Just knowing, you know what, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And that's what pushes people like to the edge, is just that you feel like you're alone.
And no one understands.
And no one understands. And then no one has been through it. So what do they know about it? Who can tell me anything about it? But this is how I look at it. It's like you have like a broken foot. Yeah, just bear with me.
Okay.
Okay, fine, let me say not broken.
It's okay.
You sprained your ankle, yeah? Mm-hmm. And you need crutches to walk. And I feel like being sober is you being like, you know what, I'm not going to use these crutches forever.
Mm.
I'm going to actually just slowly get off the crutches and then start like doing therapy
using
on my ankle
leg.
And then I'll get to using my, to walk like normal. And I think that's like just the whole point, is just to be able to walk through this life without needing crutches.
Yeah.
And I'm not judging anybody who does whatever they do.
Yeah, no. I
it's
mean,
just,
everyone's journey is completely different.
Yeah,
it's not
I just
like,
feel like
we
it's,
woke up one day and we're like, ah. I want to be perfect and now no more. No, it's just like.
I feel like it's things we've chosen and decided.
And things
and
you've gone through.
Yeah, that has
that
shown us.
That are different even. We've gone through different things that have led us to a similar decision.
Yeah.
So you can never really like. It's not like one prescription fits everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just glad, like as you said, we were walking this thing, so we were able to actually see.
Yeah.
I feel like we were driving down the road and we were able to see the things at the same time. We're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That, that, and that.
Have you ever been bullied? Should we save that for another episode?
I can't
and
say.
And do a whole episode on that.
You want, can do it? You want to do a whole episode?
I feel like that
bullying?
Would be...
Okay, cool.
How, like, your inner...
child has
narcissist
been affected
or whatever, your inner overachiever,
yeah, but just to answer your question, yes,
me too,
yes. And I feel
I
like,
feel
I'm
like bullying for context for girls and guys is so,
it's
different.
So different.
Girls
I feel
like
there we
like
can
mental.
Do like a side piece for this one,
yeah.
I feel like it applies.
I just want to end this episode by saying, like, it's all about learning what your needs are and how you want to meet them and then keeping those promises to yourself. And most importantly, I think it's realizing that your worth never needs to be validated by anything external. It's all an inner job, an inner
yeah.
job, an inside job. It's all an inside job.
You need to validate yourself.
Mm.
And then whatever other people think about you, I feel like that's up to
that's
them.
That's their business.
Yes, theirs.
So yeah, guys, that's been episode 3.
3.
On reparenting yourself from us at the Seventh Sense. My name is Edna J.
Eugene Yashaga.
And we'll catch you guys in the next one.